All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18, as we continue our journey through the book of Deuteronomy for the sake of those who have not been with us. Obviously, this is directly interpreted for the nation of Israel. And of course, Israel was established as a theocracy. And even as we saw last week in chapter 17, God also knew that Israel would one day demand a monarchy. They wanted a king like the other nations. And I really believe that's exactly what we're seeing in our culture now. We're demanding, you know, a lot of people, not everyone, but demanding socialism. Thinking, well, it hasn't worked in the Soviet Union. It didn't work. You know, hasn't been very successful in China. And when you really know what's going on there. But as you think about the reality of Israel, again, there's some applications. And as we move into chapter 18, we see here guidelines, first of all, for priests, Levites, and prophets. And it's very interesting in this chapter. He also deals with the practices of the occult and so on. So it's very interesting. Notice it says, verse 1, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. We saw this back earlier in the writings of Moses here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. So we see here the inheritance. And notice here the Lord emphasizes in verse 2, they shall have no inheritance among the brethren. In other words, that tribe was not going to have a section of the nation of Israel because the Lord is their inheritance as he has said unto them. Now, there's an aspect of this that I think is very interesting. The Levites and the priests had to trust the Lord for their provision. They were not going to be given a designated spot in the nation of Israel like the other tribes. And again, there's various reasons for that, as we have seen earlier in the Old Testament. But what I think is interesting, a way of application, in many cases, pastors, you know, they don't have, their own house or anything like that. And ultimately, we have to understand that I'm trusting the Lord. And in fact, the New Testament, even as we see in verse 3 here, the Lord used the offerings to supply for their needs. It says the priests do from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice. And notice verse 4 talks about the first fruits. First fruit of that corn, wine, and so on. Those are the things that help to support the priests and the Levites. And Paul even mentions this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Now, occasionally, I don't hear about this a lot anymore, but occasionally you get somebody with like a Plymouth Brethren background or whatever, and they will say, it's not right for a man to take money to preach the word of God. And it's like, okay, so you go to work and don't get paid, right? Well, yeah, I get paid. This is what God has called me to do. And Paul even says he was separated unto the gospel. Paul, even as an apostle, said, well, I didn't take this opportunity from the Lord. You know, in many cases, as he was starting churches, he would not be obligated to, you know, or cause the church to be obligated, I should say, to support him. So he would often make tents or whatever. And so thank you, church, for thinking it important enough to take care of your pastor. And I appreciate that. You know, you've given us a place to live here on this property, and won't be long here, and I'll be able to walk to work every day. I won't have that. I keep thinking what I can do in the morning with an extra 35 minutes. I don't have to drive into FedEx. But praise the Lord, I've given an unofficial date here, so we're working on that. So just pray. But notice verse 6 here. If a Levite come from any of, in fact, notice verse 5, I meant to mention this verse. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So again, as I said, Paul says that he was separated under the gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 1. Now, it says here, if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel where he sojourned and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, and all his brethren the Levites, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord, they shall have like portions to eat beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. Now, you notice here, it talks here about Levites coming from outside of Israel. So you notice here, Levites voluntarily chose to minister at the tabernacle as they would care for the various responsibilities in dealing with the tabernacle ministry. But notice here, they voluntarily chose that. But again, there were cities in particular that Levites would have to live. So it's not like they didn't have a house, they lived in a tent, you know, you know, like we would live in a camper, an RV, something. You know, I have no permanent home. But you notice here, then he talks about the sale of his patrimony. The word patrimony speaks of a right or estate inherited from an ancestor. So that does not mean that they never had a house. So he may have had an inheritance as far as a house or whatever. But notice now, as we move down into verse 9, is what we're dealing with as far as the practices of the occult. And I really believe that all of these things apply directly to today. Notice it says here in verse 9, it says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Now, notice with me Jeremiah chapter 10. Again, this is something that is emphasized throughout Scripture, that we are to not learn the way of this world. In particular, in the Old Testament, talking about not learning the way of the heathen, the pagan nations that were around them. Of course, the land of Canaan was a very wicked place as Israel is going into the land of Canaan. This is as in Jeremiah 10, verse 1. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven." So the signs of the zodiac, the signs of the horoscope, and so on. "For the heathen are dismayed at them." Oh, these planets are crossing. Oh, no. So the planets are crossing. What's that got to do with us? You know, it's like, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten with nails and with hammers, and that it move not," and so on. So notice again the emphasis in verse 2, "learn not the way of the heathen." So if we see something that the heathen tend to do, then we're not to learn, "Oh, I wonder why they're doing that." No, we're not to learn the way of the heathen. Notice again he says back in Deuteronomy that they were not to learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, I'm pause there just a moment. The word abominations means something disgusting. So we're talking about loathsome rituals that these people would do. Now, I want you to consider with the word abomination, there's various applications of that word in the Old Testament. Now, let me just say this. What was an abomination to the Lord in the Old Testament is still an abomination now. God does not change. So I've said this before, but it's a very interesting study to just do a search with the Strong's Concordance or some King James Bible app and type in the word abominations. Now, there's two aspects of abominations. Sometimes in the Old Testament law, these are an abomination to you, he would say. That's one aspect. That's not something that continues. That was something given to the nation of Israel. For example, their dietary restrictions and so on that we've seen before. But if it says that it's an abomination unto the Lord, then we have to understand that has not changed. So as you look at this, that's an application of the Old Testament. For example, Proverbs 6 gives us a list of things that are an abomination to the Lord. A lying tongue, so on, sowing discord among the brethren and so on. So there's various things that are an abomination. We often think of sodomy, witchcraft, some of these big things. But in reality, there's other things that are an abomination. Those things continue because God does not change. Notice with me Leviticus 18. Let's just remind ourselves of some of the things we saw in relation to this earlier as God established this. And let me remind you, these are reminders for the next generation as they're heading into the nation of Israel, to the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised. Leviticus 18, verses 24 and following. "And because these things are still an abomination to the Lord..." I really believe that this brings God's judgment upon a nation. So as our nation now has embraced the so-called homosexual movement, which is Bible, the Bible calls it sodomy. You know, they don't like Bible words. Okay, so they relabel adultery as an affair. I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible calls it. It's adultery. So we rename sin so it doesn't have its same effect upon people. And it says in Leviticus 18, verse 21, "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, thy God, I am the Lord." Now, I said there's an application for abortion in relation to this. It's not a woman's choice because they're not taking any consideration for the welfare of that child. So we have the blood of more than 55 million unborn children on our hands in America. I really believe that's the cause, one of the causes of the judgment of God upon our nation. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination in the Old Testament. No. That's not what it says. It is still an abomination. Romans 1 says it's not natural affection. I was born that way. No, you weren't. There is no sodomite gene, homosexual gene. There's no transgender gene. That is a chosen lifestyle. It is a chosen abomination. Verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there too. It is confusion. It is a violation of nature. I happen to see in the news that this is close to home. That happened in Lincoln here not too long ago. Neighbors called the police in. Bestiality is here. Okay, so you think about the legalization of sodomites and all that kind of stuff. You know what's happening with that, right? That's why they can have two wives now in Utah. Why? Well, if they have their rights, then we can have our rights. So bestiality is also on, not only that, but do you realize that they're pushing for basically men with boys? All of that stuff is coming because of all so-called legalization of our rights. I don't find anything in the Bible. I don't find anything in our Constitution saying that those are special rights that are given, granted to man. And it says here, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. By the way, the nation of Israel today is defiled with all this stuff. They have, gay pride marches and all that kind of stuff. It's very wicked in the nation of Israel today. And God's judgment comes upon a nation because of these things. I really believe we're not heading to God's judgment. We are under God's judgment as Americans. The land is defiled before, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Notice if somebody, some Gentile came and lived in Israel, they were to not practice that within the nation of Israel as well. Okay, you know the practical reason for that. God has already told them why that's important. Okay, so they find out their Gentile nation, neighbor is permitting or doing some of these abominable practices. Oh, now all you have to do is turn the TV on to find out what's going on. I mean, it's here. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Our nation is defiled because of these things. That the land spew not you out also. Well, we're Americans. God can remove us from this land. I mean, he's already been giving us over to the Muslims anyway. But you notice here, the land spew you not also, that when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. God said, because of their wickedness, they're leaving. I'm giving you the land. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. That talks about death. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. It used to be against the law to practice sodomy in America. And all of a sudden, they're coming out of the closet, and all of a sudden, you have to change the laws. Notice also Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verses 26 through 28. All right, so notice here these pagan practices that he mentions in Deuteronomy. You shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Literally, that's what we would today would call punk hairstyles from the rock music culture. That's the application of it today. All these punk hairstyles and so on, because of some satanic rock band does it. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Notice his demands because he is the Lord. Chapter 20, verse 6. The soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. That speaks of death. Notice God was saying that he would kill them. Also then, verse 27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. All right. Now, with that said, as an introduction, this is not new as far as the nation of Israel. God is reemphasizing some things. It's still true for the next generation. So these disgusting rituals were not to be practiced in Israel. Now, first of all, you notice here child sacrifice is mentioned again. Verse 10, there shall not be found any among you, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations of the Lord, thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So again, if that's true in the Old Testament, it's still true for us today. Now, first of all, again, child sacrifice. As I've mentioned, the god Molech was a hollowed out god, sometimes stone, sometimes, some kind of metal. And they would create a fire within Molech. And literally, they would offer their child in the arms of Molech. And as that child would squirm around in pain because of the heat, literally, that child would roll into the fire and be burned to ashes. All in the name of a false god. God says, no, that's not to be done in a nation of God's chosen people. Now, I want you to think about this. I've come across Christians off and on over the years. Well, they don't believe, they don't practice, they don't believe abortion's right. But who are we to say, somebody shouldn't have that option. I'm sorry, but that's a worldly thinking. It's an abominable thinking. So you burn a child in the god Molech, or you use salt solution within the womb, as I said here recently. It's still the same effect, burning an unborn child. Or cutting them up in the womb. I mean, abominable things. Listen to me, Psalm 106. Again, God is emphasizing some very serious things to the nation of Israel as they're getting ready to move into the land that he's promised them. These are reminders for the next generation. Psalm 106, verse 37 and 38, talking here about the nation of Israel. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them, verse 36. Verse 37, yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Notice, the land was polluted with blood. Israel was judged for this. Do you not think that America is being judged for this as well? Back in Deuteronomy, the second thing he says, it talks about divination. Notice, one that useth divination. What is divination? I wanted to have a definition for these so that we understand what they are. Divination is an attempt to predict future events. Also to discover things secret or obscure. You don't need to turn there for the sake of time, but Ezekiel 21 says that when King Nebuchadnezzar was going to conquer in what we commonly refer to as Palestine, nation of Israel, in that area, it says that as he stood at the way, he used divination. He looked in the liver. He used arrows and so on. He practiced divination to determine which way he was supposed to go. And in reality of that, he ended up going to the nation of Israel because of God's judgment on the nation of Israel and his chosen nation. But divination is an attempt to predict future events and to discover things secret or obscure with practices of paganism, of the occult. Notice also he talks here about an observer of times. This is a prediction through astrology. All right, so we would refer to horoscopes today. As you're standing in the checkout, in many cases you can find horoscopes, you know, little booklets right there. Or sometimes they're even found in newspapers. Can I point out something here? That there's two versions of, I'm trying to remember the wording of this song, but I thank God I'm an American and so on. There's actually two, there's two versions of that. The original one that's sung by secular musicians is "I Thank My Lucky Stars." Okay, so it's the signs of the zodiac that allowed us to be Americans today instead of in China today. I want you to consider how often that is. "I thank my lucky stars." How many times I've heard people say that over the years? "I thank my lucky stars." I'm sorry, that's the horoscope. It's prediction through astrology. Also, he talks about an enchanter here. Enchantment speaks of casting spells, forecasting the future, fortune telling. And what I thought was interesting is this word enchanter actually has an Hebrew emphasis meaning to whisper. So I don't know, evidently this enchantment talks about whispering and so on, different things. Also, notice then in verse, next one is verse 10, is a witch, speaking of witchcraft. Exodus 22:18 says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Now, let me just point out here, in colonial America, they took that to an extreme. They accused anyone who disagreed with them to being a witch. I really believe there were a lot of so-called witches that were burned or whatever that should not have been. In fact, a lot of it was probably persecution. But what I thought was interesting is 2 Kings 9:22 talks about the extreme witchcraft that Jezebel brought into the nation of Israel after she had married King Ahab. So again, we see here this witchcraft. Galatians 5:20 talks about it being a work of the flesh. But witchcraft speaks of practicing sorcery. Now, I think of the magicians in the nation of Egypt. Remember, it says that their magicians would do some of the first miracles of the plagues. I don't know why you'd want to create more frogs or whatever, or create more blood to water, water to blood, I should say. But again, this witchcraft, again, the Bible clearly forbids that. It's a work of the flesh in Galatians 5:20. The next one is a charmer, casting spells to control people and events. So in other words, again, all of this is satanic and it's devilish, and they're casting spells to influence different events. So in other words, instead of God being in control, they're trying to take control of these things. A charmer. Also, consulting familiar spirits. The Bible often refers to this in the Old Testament. A consulter with familiar spirits. Communing with the dead. Remember, King Saul did this. Because all of a sudden, because God was judging him, all of a sudden he can't hear from God anymore. And he's desperate for what he should be doing because the Philistines are coming. So in desperation, he decides, you know, find me a witch. Find me a consulter of familiar spirits. And of course, he ends up with the witch at Endor. And of course, he deceives her. And all of a sudden, she's afraid for her life because King Saul at one point practiced the Old Testament law and either kicked them out of the country or killed them. All of a sudden, he's desperate, so he's turning to a consulter of familiar spirits to find an answer. Of course, you know, God allowed for Samuel to come back up and say, tomorrow at this time, you're going to be with me. So you notice King Saul was a believer, but he had turned to some of these pagan practices. Then they also talk here about wizardry. A wizard was a male witch who claims to discover secrets. And finally, we have a necromancer. Literally, a necromancer contacts the dead. Let me bring this up to modern times as far as so-called Christianity is concerned. I've mentioned this in our Battling for the Bible series. Westcott and Hort would consult the dead. You know, the two guys that were key in giving us the modern Bibles? I believe it was Westcott. I can't remember which one, but one of the two. You know, I've narrowed it down to a 50-50 chance here. But literally, one of these two men, I think it was Westcott, said that as he was a chaplain in some chapel there in Great Britain, he would literally, in at night, get in the chapel where he supposedly would speak the Word of God. He would be there in the chapel and he'd wait for all of these dead spirits to come. And to the point where he said that there were more deceased spirits there than living people. That's one of the men who gave us the modern Bibles. Oh yeah, that sounds like somebody I want to follow. Oh yeah, I want to read his Bible. A necromancer communicates with the dead. Let me also, how many of you ever heard of the name C.S. Lewis? I mean, it is appalling how many times I hear of Westcott and Hort and C.S. Lewis quoted as, you know, good Christians to get doctrine from. How many times I've heard a Baptist preacher say, C.S. Lewis says, oh, if you only knew what C.S. Lewis stood for. C.S. Lewis, near the end of his life, as he was visiting Greece, was communicating with the Greek gods. Is that something I want to get doctrine from? Don't think so. That's all stuff that's in so-called Christianity today. And I really believe that God is looking at these abominations and saying, your judgment's coming upon you. For all, verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. By the way, you remember it says in 1 Peter, judgment must begin at the house of God. I really believe that's why, that's what's taking place in many cases. Notice, God's driving them out. Why? Because they're abominations to Him. Again, in verse 13, He says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. The word perfect there does not mean sinlessly perfect. That's not going to happen until we're face to face with the Lord. But to be perfect with the Lord our God means to be upright, wholly dedicated to Him. So in other words, well, let's try these practices. Well, yeah, on Sunday we got to worship the Lord. But during the week, you know, I'm going to consult my horoscopes. I'm going to do that kind of stuff. That's happening in Christianity, modern day Christianity. I want you to consider that God says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee or allowed thee, permitted thee to do so. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 19 and 20. So let's see what happens here as far as Israel. Verse 19, it says, when they shall say unto thee, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep. I love that little phrase. Wizards that peep, and that mutter. All they're doing is they're under the influence of the devils, is they peep and they mutter. I don't know what all this peeping is, but anyway. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? No, notice, shouldn't you be seeking unto your God? But we're not hearing from God. Well, I don't want to hear Isaiah's message. So they're going to those with familiar spirits, wizards that peep and mutter, to the law and to the testimony. They should be going to the law of God and to God's testimonies. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But by the way, there's such a darkness spiritually in churches today. That's why they're turning to these things. They're not hearing from God anymore. Jeremiah 27, verse 9. Well, it probably doesn't help any that they have a Bible that they use that was given to them by one who consulted with the dead. No wonder these modern churches can't hear from God anymore. That's a whole new application. I hadn't thought about that until just now. Jeremiah 27, verse 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your... Notice, these are people in Israel now. They weren't kicked out like God had said back in the Old Testament law. Nor to your sorcerers which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. So these devil-inspired people were saying, oh, you know, you don't have to serve Nebuchadnezzar. And because they listened to that, Nebuchadnezzar came down hard on them and destroyed their nation and the temple and so on. Notice back in Deuteronomy again, notice it says here in verse 15. So in the context of this, I want you to notice here, he promises a capital P prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto thee, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. So this is obviously Mount Sinai. It's a fearful thing for Israel to see and observe. The Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a, notice, capital P prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Notice here there's a prophet that is promised here. Now, Muslims believe that this is Prophet Muhammad, because Muhammad came after Jesus Christ. The problem with that is, verse 15, first of all, notice, of thy brethren, I shall be like a man, but he's also like unto the Lord. Muhammad never claimed to be God. In fact, he would have considered that to be blasphemous. And so any man who claims to be God or equal with God Allah, by the way, has no son. So that tells me Allah and Jehovah are not the same God. You know, it's somebody trying to be politically correct that says Allah and Jehovah are the same God. They're just, no, they aren't the same God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, calls out Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus. He's both God and man equally. He's 100% God, 100% man. Because you notice here, he's going to be like unto the Lord. So again, Muhammad, notice he also talks about his words, the prophet speaking God's words. That's not the Quran from Allah. This is Jehovah here, not Allah. There's a big difference here. So again, I want you to notice here, but we're seeing here both, he's both priest and prophet. And obviously we see in Scripture that he's also king. So these are the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice again, he says, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. So Jesus Christ was born into the Jewish nation. Unto him ye shall hearken. Notice then verse 18 again, I will raise them up a prophet. Again, this is Jesus, not Muhammad. From among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Notice me, John chapter 1. Remember when John the Baptist was getting popular? All of a sudden, the leaders of Israel were trying to figure out who this guy was. And that tells us they were at least indirectly looking for a Messiah. Notice with me, John chapter 1, verse 19 and following. And this is the record of John, which when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Notice he emphatically denied that he was the Christ. And asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Notice what they just asked there. Art thou that prophet? Going back to Deuteronomy 18. And he answered, no. Why? Because that prophet was both God and man. Now, it's interesting. He would come in the spirit of Elijah, but notice he did not claim to be Elijah. Verse 22, then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Again, the Pharisees and so on, these religious leaders. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. as said the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. All right, so Isaiah 40 is what he was talking about there. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Again, that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Jesus Christ was already there. He was already among them. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose. Notice his humility there. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Notice his preexistence. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. I knew him not, but notice he, God, that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Notice, God told him how he would know that this is that prophet. Notice back in Deuteronomy again. You notice it says again in verse 19, and by the way, God again says, I will put my words in his mouth. John 12, Jesus very clearly says that he spoke the words that God his Father gave him. But verse 19, notice he says, and it came to pass that whosoever shall will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. There's a day of reckoning. Can you imagine being a Pharisee, a scribe, and a Sadducee who's now been in hell for almost 2,000 years, realizing that they're there because they rejected the words of that prophet that supposedly they were looking for? This is why Israel was judged by God. Notice, I will require it of him. His blood be on us and on all our children. I really believe that's part of the reason why Jews have suffered so much in these last 2,000 years. The Holocaust and all that. That's not saying that Hitler is not held accountable for that. But they literally called Christ's blood upon them and their descendants. Verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Notice the word presume there means to act proudly, presumptuously. It speaks of self-will. Notice, this is the test for a true prophet. Jeremiah 28 talks about a prophet that was prophesying false things. And he died because of it. Verse 21, it says, if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Now we, of course, test everything with the word of God. 1 John 4, again, as we've seen, talks about trying or testing the spirits. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. I've thought about a few examples of this, but I want you to think about this. When a weather forecaster says, we're going to give you sunny skies, is that not a prediction? So God could say, you know what, you're wrong. I'm sending in a thunderstorm this afternoon that you didn't even see coming. Why is it that we, in America, often have no problems believing a weather forecaster, but we don't want to believe Bible prophecy? Here's another one. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Let's talk about the expert predictions that we've heard here in the last few months. 2.2 million people are going to die in America. That is not to minimize the deaths that have taken place because of all this. But you notice what he says, thou shalt not be afraid of Dr. Fauci. Oh, I'm sorry, him. Dr. Birx. I want you to think about this. They made predictions based on models that they said would come to pass if we do nothing. knowing America, there's no way we would have done nothing. But I want you to notice, again, there's application. Those who are making prophecies or predictions, if they do not come to pass, you are not to fear them. So, why is it that in America we've pretty much destroyed our country because we've listened to somebody whose predictions did not come true? There's application of the Old Testament for today. Father, I pray that you'd help us to think biblically. Father, these things were given to the nation of Israel. Israel ignored them. But by application, they're for us today. Lord, that you would help us to stop looking so much to our culture for answers and get back to your word. And Lord, so many so-called Christians are practicing these things that God says is an abomination that brings judgment. And Lord, our nation has embraced and accepted these things. No wonder you bring in judgment on us. But Lord, we're not heading for your judgment's here already. So many things in our country have changed. Lord, help us. Help us remember that the nation that exalts these things, that forgets you, ends up in hell. In Jesus' name, amen.